Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Alex. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I am from Austin, Texas. This is where I was born and raised. I live here currently. I went to school in Memphis, Tennessee at Rhodes College and studied creative writing. And after college, I sort of dipped my toes into the writing editing industry. I started out as a copywriter for a very, very boring government job. And then I pivoted to romance book editing, which was, needless to say, much more exciting than working for the government. In that job, I sort of started writing my own books, and then the rest is history. And so now I'm a full-time writer writing my books.
Okay, so we got to talk about romance book editing. How did you get into it? And what were some of the... what are some of the unique aspects? I'm a romance reader. Like, mm-hmm. This is like a lifelong passion of mine that I discovered like 4 years ago, but 6 years ago, actually. Nice. But, you know, what are some unique things about romance, you know, that you discover by editing, you know?
So, when I say romance publisher, that is a slight euphemism for erotica, just so people know, just kind of what we're talking about here. I got in as a copy editor because I was just looking for like any job that I was qualified for. And the only thing I was qualified for was like, you know, fixing periods and commas and, you know, sentence structure. So I started as a copy editor. And then after, I don't know, a few months, they were like, okay, you can come on as like a content editor, a book editor. So, I mean, I loved it. I loved it and I didn't love it for other reasons, but I loved it because literally like part of my job was like, you know, you need more sexual tension, like built up to this like steamy scene, you know, and like, who can say that they, you know, do that for their job. So yeah, I mean, my favorite, to be honest, like we pumped out so many books, so I can't remember all the titles, but my favorite was about this Amish vampire colony. So it was like, and like my boss was like, I wonder why, because like it was getting some like good traction. And I was like, yeah, it's so good. And my boss was like, I wonder why it's doing so well. And I was like, well, I think it's because it's kind of like double forbidden. Like, because like vampires and humans, you know, they can never like fall in love because of like the obvious, like one of them's going to kill you. Yeah. And then also, I guess there was like the Amish aspect of it. So there was some forbidden romance in that as well. So anyway, it was a very fun, very fun job, very fun day job for me.
That sounds like a fun day job to look at it. And, you know, it's different to read it for a job than to read it for pleasure. But yeah. I think it's something to just like to appreciate, like, you know, it's a fun story to have, you know, who knew that Amish vampires will gain some traction.
Yeah. And it's so funny because now I have like, I love romance novels, but I have a very small tolerance level. Like I can only read like one every few months because I can't. It's like too much for me. I get flashbacks.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's chat about your writing. Let's talk about the truth about Ben and June. Tell us the elevator pitch.
Yeah. So my novel, Truth About Ben and June, is about this married couple, Ben and June, of course. They are in their early 30s and they have just had their first baby together. and they're really struggling with new parenthood. So one morning, Ben wakes up and he discovers that June is missing, and so is her suitcase. So he starts doing everything he can to figure out where June went and why she left. And the more he uncovers about his wife, the more he realizes just how absent he's really been from their life together. And also just how little he knows what is going on in his wife's day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. So as you can probably tell, there's like a little thread of mystery. It's not a mystery, but there's a thread of mystery. There's some humor in it as well. But I personally think of my book as like an exploration of a marriage and what it means to share your life with another person.
So how do you develop the characters? Because the characters are probably more focused, more driven than plot-driven novels. So the process of developing the characters, did they come to you first? Did they speak to you? Like, what's the process for you?
Mm-hmm. So I always think, and I'm very curious about if this is how other writers feel about their characters, but I feel like each of my characters is sort of an exaggeration of one of my traits. Mm-hmm. And then like I kind of build the rest of their character around that specific trait. So I think for June, she and I are very different. Like, she is a professional dancer in New York City, and I'm a writer in Texas. But she, the aspects that I took from myself is we share this ambition and this drive to have a big life. We're kind of hungry for this big life. And we're, you know, she's a creative, I'm a creative as well. So that's how, that was kind of my window into June. And that plays a big role in not only who she is, but like the journey she's having throughout the novel, because, you know, she was this big, lively dancer in New York City. And then when the book opens, you see that they have moved to the suburbs of New Jersey. She has a baby and she's sort of grieving her past life, like her life as a dancer. And then so Ben was a little bit harder for me. What really clicked him into place finally is I really struggled writing him, but finally I realized what his basic desire is and what his basic fear is. And his basic desire is that he wants to be a good person and have a positive impact on the world. And his basic fear is that he is not doing that, basically. So once that finally like clicked into place, he unlocked for me and I was able to write him. And also I will say that the other thing that helped is that I finally picked an actor to play him, to like have his face in my mind. And that also helped.
I love this. And so when did you start writing this in the pandemic or?
No, actually I started writing it like 5 years ago, but in the interim, I published another book, an Audible original. And then I also worked on another book in the interim. So it was basically like, not hit it, like a start and stop process for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's funny enough, like now I'm asking that question, there's a lot of books that came up in 2020, 2021, you know, like,
yeah,
what was your pandemic hobby? If you actually had one, you know, some people did not. Some people were like, oh, hell no. I did not do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's funny. I mean, my pandemic hobby was like making the best pizza that I could make.
Woo! Okay, best toppings. Like, what kind of toppings did you play around with? Or
so I have, you know, I have my two moods. I have my fancy mood, which is where I do like drizzled olive oil, like no red sauce, drizzled olive oil, some like fresh garlic, and then I do goat cheese and prosciutto and arugula, and sometimes some like spicy honey, like honey mixed with like red pepper flakes.
Yeah.
That's like and then like fresh arugula on top. Like that's my feeling fancy pizza. and then I have like my like regular night pizza, which is more like I got my pepperoni, you know, this is like regular sauce, pepperoni, Kalamata olives, onions, peppers, just sort of like a almost like a little supreme, you know, like everything. Yeah.
I love this. Yes, that's a better, that's a delicious pandemic hobby to have.
Yeah. Yeah. So some people were writing books, I was making pizza.
It is okay. I spend the whole year, I spend the past 2 years speaking to authors, you know.
I mean, that's a lovely thing to do.
it is, you know, we just figure out like whatever kept us alive, you know.
Yeah,
awesome.
I love it.
Awesome. So tell us, do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yes, and I've been doing some interviews and people keep asking me that question, and so I literally have my Goodreads pulled up because I keep forgetting. You know when people ask you that and you're like, I read all the time, I have so many favorite books, and then when people ask you, you're like, you can't think of it. So yes. Yeah, so I actually just finished The Push by Ashley Audrain.
Ooh,
it's a good one. Have you read that one?
Yeah, tell me all about it.
It's actually a comp title for one of my books, which is like why I mean, it's been on my radar for a while, but I think it was like an in-house comp title for me. And so I was like really interested to read it, but it is about this woman who falls in love and has a baby, and she's really not sure about this baby. Like she feels like she can't connect with it, but she's like, it's kind of the baby's fault. Like she's like, she can't connect with this baby. And she's like, something's like really off. And then, so it's basically through the next 12 years of her being a mother, and you see flashbacks of her own mother and her grandmother. And it kind of starts out with her mother, like smoking a cigarette. And she says something about, you know, the women in this family, like something's off about us. And so it's kind of like this, I don't know, it's this beautiful character study, and it's beautifully written, and it's very subtle and very creepy. And once you've kind of made up your mind about something, you're like, oh wait, well, so maybe not. But then you're like, oh no, that is weird. So it's a very, it's just like so subtly done where the author is just like messing with you, and it's just delightful. So that was a really good one that I just finished. I also, let's see, I recently discovered Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro.
Ooh.
Yeah. It is amazing. I'm late to that bandwagon, but it is so beautiful. It's like the world's like best page turner. It kept like, I haven't found a book in a while that keeps me up like past my bedtime. And this, it was like, my eyes were like, I would wake up like bloodshot eyes because I could not put this book down. So let's see, that was good. Long Bright River, beautiful book about, it's a mystery about like the opioid crisis. And that sounds really heavy, and it is, but it's like a whodunit. You know, it's just like such a page turner.
Yep.
I mean, I feel like I could just go on and on and on.
Great recommendations. They all are great recommendations to pick up. So I love this. And what are you working next? Are you working on something else that you can share, or you cannot share?
Well, so I actually had the amazing opportunity to collaborate on a book recently, mm-hmm. which is coming out actually in August. So I collaborated with the true crime podcaster, Ashley Flowers, on she's the creator and co-host of Crime Junkie, and I helped her write All Good People Here. So it's coming out. Yeah, it's coming out in August. So Ashley and I like just turned that in very recently. So, and then of course, like my, you know, pre-publication for The Truth About Ben and June is, you know, well on its way. I'm on a moving train right now. And I have not had the time to start something new. So I'm very much in the brainstorming process. And by brainstorming, I mean, like, I do not have a story. It is like every time I take a shower and every time I go for a walk, I'm like, okay, what am I going to write next? And I don't know. Nothing's really coming to me. So, hey, if you have any ideas.
You know, it's going to come at the most random time, you know, yeah. You just never know. Like, actually, whenever I need like a new idea or something, I just like, I set a timer and I write a want something over and over and over into my journal, like just hand and paper. And like, it uncovers the shed load. I'm like, oh, like I can do this or I can do that. I can do this or I can do that. So maybe doing like one of those activities where you're just like, doesn't matter where you're going to write. It can be junk, but it just gets the junk out of it.
Like, yeah. No, I love that idea because it is like, I feel this pressure to the next thing I sit down to write is going to be my next book, you know? And it's like,
that's a really hard thing to grasp, you know, like, it's like a big load on your shoulders. Like I must write the next big novel. And you're like,
right, exactly.
Like you're going to uncover. I'm like a huge fan of Julie Cameron's The Artist Way of like just the morning pages of write all the junk, get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Like it's interesting. You just have to like clear out the junk in the head and then try to figure out like what can come up. And you just never know. It can be like a little seedly of an idea. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, actually, I'm thinking about doing The Artist Way again because I did it back when I was stuck on The Truth About Ben and June. And I was like completely stuck, no idea what I was going to do. And I was like, I'm just going to do The Artist Way. And then I just took myself on my artist dates and, you know, and like did the morning pages. And the hardest part was the week of no reading or no TV. So I literally, like, my husband would come home and I would be like doing a puzzle. I do not do puzzles. And I'd be doing a puzzle for like an entire week. And the weird thing was like, I was so into this puzzle. My husband was like, you hate puzzles. And I was like, I know, but right now this is the only thing I have to do in my life. Like I have a puzzle. Like I was like getting a little manic about my puzzle. So but anyway, it did really help my writing process. It did eventually, like I got there in the end, you know, we have a book today.
So you just never know. Maybe The Artist Way, maybe revisiting, maybe not go as strict as like, no, you know, do the puzzle, but maybe like doing your own Artist Way light version.
Yes. I love the idea of an Artist Way light because The Artist Way heavy is heavy.
Yeah. So awesome. So tell us where to find you online.
You can find me online at my website, alexkeister.com. I'm also on Instagram at alexkeisterwriter. And that's, if you couldn't figure out, WRITER, not like horseback rider.
It is so good. So thank you, Alex, for being in the show.
Yeah, thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit RetroRenextBlog.com. The Retro Renext podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourrenextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.